Okay, here we go. On Jackie's last day in Colby, she and Bertha sat together at the sewing machine in my room and talked about boys and clothes and movie stars while they worked on a zipper. I took Wishbone out in the yard and pulled weeds from between the marigolds beside the garden shed while he slept in the sun. I hated thinking about Jackie getting on the bus to Raleigh, going back to her happy life, painting her fingernails with Carol Lee, dating Scooter, the pinball champion, making even going to the beauty school. Each yank of a weed was like a jab in my heart as I thought about her leaving me behind. By the time Jackie and Bertha finished that zipper, there wasn't a single weed left in the yard, and my heart ached so bad I wanted to cry. Later that day, me and Jackie and Wishbone went down to the Odoms so Jackie could say goodbye. The boys sat on the porch steps, looking like they were going to a funeral. "Y'all better come visit me in Raleigh," Jackie said. She threw her arms out wide. "Everybody, we'll have us the best time ever." They nodded solemnly and Cotton swiped at tears. "If I'm still working at that old Waffle House, y'all come by and I'll throw in a couple of chocolate chip waffles for free." Cotton perked up. "Chocolate chip waffles?" Jackie nodded. "Yep, and I'll make sure they put extra chips in there, okay?" He grinned. "I bet Charlie's gonna miss you," Howard said. Jackie put her arms around my shoulder. "Well, I'm gonna miss her too, but she can come visit." "Visit," I said. "I'll be going back there to live." I rubbed my hand down Wishbone's back. "You know, when Mama gets her feet on the ground," I added. Jackie looked down at her lap. Wishbone's tail swished back and forth in the dry red dirt. "Well then," Jackie said, "I reckon it's time for me to get my hugs in." She held her arms out. Each of those boys gave her a quick, awkward hug. Then Mrs. Odom ran out of the house and said, "It was just a joy and a blessing having you here in Colby, Jackie." Then she and Jackie hugged, and we headed back home. That night, Bertha made a special supper of meatloaf and lima beans, fried green tomatoes, and sweet potato pie. Wishbone laid beside my chair, waiting for somebody to toss him a piece of meatloaf every now and then. I have to admit that we'd spoiled him rotten and turned him into a world-class beggar. After we sat out on the porch for a while, me and Jackie went back to my room. I brushed Wishbone while Jackie packed, stuffing her shorts and things into the duffel bag and telling me again how lucky I was to have such a nice place to live. I watched her gather her nail polish and toss it in the duffel bag, and I started to feel more pitiful by the minute. "What's going to happen to me?" I wanted to ask her, but I didn't. After we turned the lights out, I stared up at the ceiling, watching the shadows of the dogwood tree dance in the moonlight. And then I took a deep breath and said, "Can I go back to Raleigh with you?" The silence that followed nearly swallowed me up. I could feel my heartbeat in my chest and Wishbone's warm breath against my cheek. Then Jackie got out of bed and sat beside my sleeping bag. "Nothing's gonna change, Charlie," she said. "I used to think it would, but now I don't. Scrappy's gonna keep being Scrappy. And Mama is gonna keep being Mama. And you and I are on our own. No magic wand is going to fix things." I didn't want to believe that, so I pushed those words away so I wouldn't have to think about them. Then I said, "Did you know Mama left us when we were little? Just ran off with a garbage bag full of clothes to start a new life?" Jackie heaved a big sigh. "Yes, I did know that." "How'd you know?" "When you're 7 years old and your mama waltzes out the door without so much as a goodbye, well, that's something you don't forget." "How come you never told me?" I said. She put her hand on my back and rubbed it in little circles. "'Cause I didn't want you to hate mama." "Do you hate mama?" "Nah." She pushed my hair behind my ear. "I don't like her very much, but I don't hate her. But why can't I live with you?" I asked so quiet it was almost a whisper. Jackie hugged her knees. "Charlie, I can't live with Carol Lee forever. I'm saving my money, and me and Wayne Jarvis are getting a apartment together. I can't take care of you like Gus and Bertha can, she said. Shoot, I can barely take care of myself. We sat in silence for a minute, and then Jackie said, you got a good life here, Charlie. You got Gus and Bertha loving you and treating you like a princess. You got all those Odoms thinking thanking the good Lord for you. Then there's Howard, the nicest friend you could ever want. You got these beautiful mountains and a garden and a porch to sit on that's like sitting on this side of heaven. Wishbone kicked his legs and let out a little woof like he was having a doggy dream. Jackie rubbed his stomach. And a dog that loves you like nobody's business. I looked at Wishbone and thought about Bertha saying how dogs love you no matter what, and my heart nearly burst. Don't hate me, Charlie, Jackie said. Hate her? I loved everything about her. I loved the old Jackie and the new Jackie. Why couldn't I tell her that? I guess I hadn't had much practice saying I love you. So I just sat there in the darkness with Wishbone twitching in his sleep beside me, and I said, I do like those blue streaks in your hair. The week after Jackie left, I started Vacation Bible School at Rocky Creek Baptist Church. I told Bertha I didn't want to go, but she kept telling me how I was going to love it. I went to Vacation Bible School every summer when I was a girl, she said. I loved everything about it, the games, the crafts, the songs. She went on to tell me about making a bird feeder by putting peanut butter on a pine cone and rolling it in bird seed and lanyards. I must have made about 100 lanyards, she laughed and shook her head, and macrame keychains. I love those. And she said, Howard and all the kids from Sunday school will be there. So I finally said, okay. But then the day before I was supposed to go, Bertha came home with a lunchbox covered with ponies and rainbows. I can't believe I let you take your lunch to school in an old paper bag, she said. I can't take that, I said. Bertha's smile faded. Oh, she said, okay. I could tell I'd hurt her feelings, but there was no way I could take that lunchbox. Bertha snatched it off the kitchen counter and stuck it way up on top of the shelf of the cupboard. I don't know what I was thinking, she said. That thing is just plumb silly. So she put my lunch in a brown paper bag and off I went to Vacation Bible School. We sat in a circle in the shade and listened to Miss Rhonda tell us how much fun we were going to have, even though we knew each other from Sunday school, she said. First, I'd like for each of y'all to tell your name and then 3 fun facts about yourself. Right away, I thought about my first day of school in Colby and that getting to know you paper. But this time, when it was my turn, instead of saying I like soccer, ballet, and fighting, I said, I have a dog named Wishbone, my sister works at the Waffle House, and my Aunt Bertha has 7 cats. We spent the morning making papier-mâché bowls and singing a song about Moses and the bulrushes. When it was time for lunch, I got my brown paper bag and sat next to Audrey Mitchell. I'd made up my mind I was going to be more like Jackie from now on, cool and confident, making friends right and left. But before I could think up something to say to Audrey, Howard plopped down next to me. Burl wrote Jackie a letter, he said. What for? He shrugged. Lenny snatched it right out of his hand, and they got into a fight. Burl chased him around the house, cussing, and broke a lamp. He lifted the corner of his sandwich and examined the bologna and mustard inside. Did Burl get the letter back? I asked. Howard flattened his sandwich between the palms of his hands. Yeah, he said, but it got ripped, and now they're both grounded because of the cussing and the lamp. He pushed at his damp red hair. His arms were sunburned, bright pink, and dotted with freckles. He went on to tell me about Dwight breaking his pinky finger at baseball camp. While Howard talked, I watched Audrey out of the corner of my eye. She sat cross-legged with a paper napkin on her lap. She had butterfly barrettes in her hair, and her sneakers didn't have one speck of dirt on them. Her lunchbox was plain, no ponies or rainbows on it. She opened it and peered inside. Then she took out a plastic bag full of grapes, something wrapped in foil, and a folded-up piece of paper. I scooted a little closer to her and pretended like I was listening to Howard while she opened the paper. It was a note with big, swirly handwriting. When she put it down on the grass next to her grapes, I squinted at it trying to read it. "And Cotton had two ticks on him," Howard said, "so Mama made him strip down naked right there in the yard." A couple of kids giggled, and I shot Howard a look. Nobody wanted to hear the word naked while they ate their lunch, but Howard went right on talking like he didn't even notice. Just then, some girl I didn't know said, "Sit here, Audrey," and patted the ground next to her. So Audrey scooped up her grapes and stuff and moved away from me and Howard, leaving the piece of paper behind. Right away, I slapped my foot down on top of it. While Audrey and that girl chatted away about swimming lessons and soccer camp, I snatched up the paper and stuffed it in my pocket. "What was that?" Howard asked.
"What was what?"
"That paper."
"What paper?"
"That paper in your pocket."
"Nothing."
Howard wiped a dab of mustard from his shorts.
"Okay."
All afternoon, while we read Bible stories out loud and watched Miss Rhonda's teenage son do magic tricks, I thought about that note in my pocket. Every once in a while, I reached in and wrapped my fingers around it. Finally, I got my chance. Howard was helping Miss Rhonda take the Bible storybooks back inside the church, and Audrey was busy being friends with everybody but me. So I took the paper out of my pocket and read it. "Have fun at Vacation Bible School. I will be missing you. I love you very much, Mama." Quickly, I folded it and jammed it back into my pocket. I looked over at Audrey, linking arms with some girl and whispering. I closed my eyes, and in my mind, I became Audrey, a girl with perfect sneakers and a friend to whisper secrets to, and a mama who wrote, "I love you very much," on a note for me. But then I opened my eyes, and I was me again. That night, we had corn on the cob for supper. I counted the rows of corn on my cob, and I couldn't believe it. Exactly 14. That was on my list of things you can wish on. I counted one more time to make sure, and then I closed my eyes and made my wish. "Oh, I almost forgot," Bertha said, jumping up from the table. She took something off the counter and handed it to me. A lunchbox. A plain lunchbox with no ponies or rainbows. She lifted her eyebrows and said, "What do you think? Better?" A wave of guilt swept over me and caught me by surprise. I felt bad that Bertha had spent money to buy another lunchbox for me. I should have just taken the one with the rainbows and ponies and been thankful for it. I bet Jackie would have, but I hadn't, and now here was Bertha being so nice to me. "Yes, ma'am," I said. "Thank you." Then we went out on the porch and tossed a tennis ball to Wishbone till he got tired and went to sleep at my feet. As I watched the sun sink slowly behind the mountains, I cupped my hand around that note in my pocket. I thought about Audrey's mother putting her grapes in that little bag and writing that note. I wondered what Audrey's family was like, the one she had written on her flower for the garden of blessings at church. I knew for sure her daddy wasn't away somewhere getting corrected, and I bet she had a sister who played cards with her on rainy days and whispered secrets under the covers at night, and I was certain her mama had her feet on the ground. When it got dark and the mosquitoes came out, me and Wishbone went back in my room. I fished around in my backpack until I found a piece of paper and a pen. I tore the paper in half and sat on the floor and wrote, "I love you very much, Mama." Then I folded the paper up and tucked it under my pillow before turning on the light and kissing Wishbone in the top of his head. Poor Charlie. I know her mama loves her. I know I sure do. Night, girls.